project construction bids, budget, and proposed water and sewer system development fees. Notice of the meeting was posted at Town Hall on the website on October 30th, 2017, thus meeting the 48-hour notice requirement. Okay. Mr. Dugan, I understand under expansion renovation of the existing Town Hall Police and Fire buildings and the new fire station, you will be talking to us about bids and alternate bids.
All right. Thank you very much, Mayor. Just to, for those of you that don't know, we'll go through the meeting where the bids were opened. We had a total of five companies that offered us bids, and those companies and their base bids were the Bordeaux Construction Company came in with a bid of $4,820,000 and change. Clancy and Thays Construction Company came in at $4,683,000 and change. Monteith Construction Corporation came in at $4,853,000, and Thomas Construction Group came in at $4,355,000. The lowest one was Thomas Construction Group that came in at $4,355,000, and they came in broken out at $1,862,500 for the fire station, $2,113,500 for the town hall. These are construction costs only. We have a recommendation from the architect, which you have in front of you. Enclosed is our official bid tabulation in regard to the above project. Based on the bids received, the apparent low bidder is Thomas Construction Group with a base bid amount of $4,355,000. They list that the affidavit and everything is on record, and minority contract participation and all the other things that is required to bid. The breakdown of the companies that they will be using, if they're chosen, is Evergreen Clearing will do the site prep. Garrett Construction Services will do both the plumbing and the mechanical, and Laney Electric will do the electrical. And they're also are some other recommendations that we'll go over when we get into that part. Are there any questions from anybody? Any questions from anybody in the audience?
My assumption is that our project management team is in agreement with the architects?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
What I'd like to do
from
now.
So did you have bids that showed you what it would cost simply to repair what we're not in code with and those kinds of things, as opposed to a new build?
No, sir.
And why didn't we have that?
Because what we were doing was getting bids for the construction of.
Right, but wouldn't a cheaper option for the taxpayer have been to repair what we have and see what that costs versus, if it's close to this, you know, $4 million, okay. But if it's not, if it's simply half of that, how come we didn't do that?
Well, the discussion that we had earlier, it was based on the type of electrical work that we had, the air conditioning work that we had, the structural decisions and everything that were made, and we as a group council decided to go forward with the renovation project, which is basically a repair. We're not tearing everything down. We're enlarging.
Right.
We're not
in Town Hall, but you're building a brand new fire station.
Brand new. Have you seen the old fire station, sir?
No, I haven't been through it.
Okay. So what we'll do now then is I'll turn it over to the...
But I just want to make the point was you didn't actually get cost estimates on anything you just laid out. You simply said it's a better option, in our opinion, to go with new build for the fire station and renovate the town hall.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Turn it over to the project managers to go over the renovations and the alternate for, again, to bring you up to speed. There were a number of items that we looked at for alternate figures to see whether we could come up with any potential cost savings anywhere, and those figures were also submitted by all the bidders.
Thank you, Jim and commissioners. We had, or the project team had prepared as construction costs were rising, a lot of alternates to, so the project, we would have options if the project did come in over budget. Those alternates are covered on the second sheet of your bid tab or the back side of your bid tab. And run kind of parallel for the fire station and the town hall. One, the alternate G1 was the contractors will stipulate some to be deducted from the base bid for deletion of the town hall generator and pad as delineated in the construction documents. So this was basically just for the contractors to give us a price for, for instance, if the town wanted to supply their own generator and to assign a value for the generator in their bid. I'll just go through the alternates as they're listed. They go left to right on your page on your bid tab. Impact windows are required here on the coast for a storm shutter to meet code. And there was alternate G2 was the contractual stipulated sum to be added or deducted from the base bid for deletion of all impact resistant windows. And to replace those with non-impact rated systems and a storm shutter system. Alternate G3 was a standing seam roof versus the contractual stipulated a sum to add or deduct from the base bid for the installation of a shingle roof in lieu of a standing seam roof. So the standing seam roof would be in the base bid. Alternate G4 is the contractual stipulated sum to be added or deducted from the base bid for the installation of VCT in lieu of LVT. It's just a cheaper, less expensive flooring product, and wanted to weigh the cost on that. alternate G5, and this is specific to town hall, was that the contractor stipulated some to add or deduct from the base bid for the eliminating the replacement of the existing windows at all TS18 and T19 windows. And that's the inside of the L on the town hall here. It's the back windows. Alternate G6 is for removing some interior finishes in one little area down the hall here that doesn't receive a lot of construction work, and that was to replace the carpet and to remove the popcorn ceilings in that area to match the new ceilings for the new construction. For alternate G6 was for a fire hydrant and line expansion specific to the fire station. It is to run a fire line and to install that fire hydrant in front of the fire station.
Is that not required by code? You made that an option, but is that not required?
It was an option for
The base bid included a yard hydrant versus a full fire hydrant. The fire hydrant allows faster fill up of the, of the trucks.
But there would be a hydrant one way or the other, just a different style.
This was much preferred.
Yep. Okay.
And in talking to Ed the other day, he said this one would be for training, but in addition to that, filling up a fire truck in case of a fire where they needed to carry the water to the fire.
Yeah.
They could fill up right there where the truck is.
So the fire station town hall alternates, we covered those. The fire station alternates the FG numbers and the TG numbers are parallel on those descriptions.
Except for
FG,
G5?
Yeah, FG5 was the overhead doors. In doing the overhead doors on the fire station and doing those out of a more of a steel and less glass. Typically, you see the fire station where the glass goes from top to bottom is in the rendering on the front. This would be just more of a garage style layout where there's just enough windows at the top for light. And I think that covers the
No, I was looking for my glasses. I left them right up there. Thank you. It's okay. I saw it further away. I was getting lazy. Sorry. I normally leave a pair up there.
And as I said at the beginning, these alternates were laid out to give you guys some options as pricing came in, and if you needed to. And most of them are deductive alternates. They tried to include as much as they could in the base bid, so if you did have to whittle on project budgets, you had some options versus if the project was over budget, you would have no options but a redesign, cost time, and possibly the project.
And from talking to the architect firm yesterday, we were talking about generators and locations and things like that. They pointed out that the generator numbers, as you can see, varied quite a bit, and they noticed that the two high generators were bid by the same electrical company, and that there may be some room for negotiation as far as price difference on generators.
That was part of our analysis, yes. So there's still some, Chris will speak to this, he's in conjunction with the design team, there's still some give and take going on and understanding the alternates to try to arrive at, you know, a better, you know, as good a number as we can once the decision is made on how we proceed.
I also had a meeting with a public works director, and he stands by his original recommendation as far as one generator per facility. He did ask for the addition, if it's at all possible, of a connection to be set into the building in case our main generator would go down, so that all they would have to do would be to roll up a portable generator and plug the transfer right in.
And I think Sonny has also talked about the cost of renting these generators during any kind of disaster period, and over time the cost could be as much, if not more, to bring those generators in, and the ones we have are...
Yeah, he said he looked over the prices, and he said that's both the high and the low. He says that's the numbers that are out there right now. If you're gonna do it, if you're gonna buy generators.
Okay. Okay. Do you guys have any other comments you would like to make?
We'll be glad to answer questions, but just in general, alternates, as you are well aware of, comes with they reduced the pluses and minuses on dollars, but they also, the other side of the coin is they've reduced the pluses and minuses on service life, on functionality, and those things that you understand. So we'd be glad to answer any questions you have.
About council, do you have any particular questions on any of these alternates, particularly the fire hydrant and the interior?
I would just have a statement. I think it's important that we get our own generators. Just as an example, this year we had to go rent generators in case, in case we had a hurricane. So we had that expense. But I'm just saying, and they're awfully hard to get.
Well, the other big problem was there were two incidents in the country at the same time, and we had to go quite a few states over to get generators and have them shipped here very high cost.
Based on the fact that the fire station is going to be the bunker, and I think it would be more prudent for us to consider the purchase.
No, I think they should stand. It sounds like we're fortunate. We were worried that with all the stuff that's happened, that the construction bids were gonna come much higher than they actually did. I was actually surprised when I think Joe emailed me or texted me because construction costs are going up. In fact, if you look at the library construction costs,
it's almost $1 million over budget.
What they expected, right? So
plus they ended up having only three bids. Everybody right. else dropped out because either their workers are in Florida or Texas, right. or they have so much work to take on they couldn't take on the library too.
So I think because we're under where we expected to be, we should put the stuff in that we want. The other thing is with the generators, Craig's exactly right. Over the time I've been on council, we have rented generators, I know, at least six times and never really used them, just in case. And we'll still continue to do that because the generators that Public Works rents are not for this town hall. They're for the pump stations, the lift stations and the wells. And so we'll continue to probably do that, but in the long term, council will, I think it would be wise for Arlen and Sonny to make the case for having, I know he has a couple of generators, but not enough to support the whole town. So part of his plan is a mix of renting and buying. That's for a different night, but I think Arlen and Sonny should do the math on that and tell us the right thing. But for these buildings, the generator we have right now is from the military, like a 1950s generator, and it served us very well, but I think it's time to be replaced. We can't get parts for it. The way it's held together is not good, and I think... Nice. There you go. And so I think with the bids coming in the way they are, we're right on track, and we should definitely keep them in.
One thing I did want to bring up, there was unit prices, mainly to do with unsuitable soils that were included in the base bid price, that total up to about $21,000, and that's included in the base bid. If those are used, we have a unit price if it goes over calculate that. But I'll just go through the unit prices so everybody understands. There's $6,000 worth of undercut and fill that is can either be used or not. Another $9,500 for undercut and fill and open excavations. It includes 500 cubic yards. The off-site borrow material, there's $4,000, 250 cubic yards, $4,000 in the base bid. And then there's some unit prices for data outlets, duplex receptacles. They're just unit prices if you guys want to add them. The other price that's in the base bid is unit price number 6, which is the roof sheathing replacement. And there's 1,000 square feet of roof sheathing replacement on town hall for areas that may be water damaged when they get into it, which is a total of $1,567.
And all those enterprises, contractor, of course, be adjusted to the actualities of the recorded volumes or the recorded amounts. And it's just a way to lock pricing in at bid time versus open-ended.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. What about the fire hydrant? Do I hear any comments, especially from those of you who have fire experience?
I would recommend... if we're going to have one of the two, I would recommend the standard hydrant.
Yeah. Public Works would agree with that. There, I mean, if you don't, in 3 years, Public Works will be changing out probably.
Well, not only that, that means that we have another standard hydrant that's in our safety system throughout the town. If we put the yard hydrant in, it can't be used for firefighting or anything other than the normal stuff, filling the trucks and cleaning and things like that. So there's a lot more use you'll get out of a standard fire hydrant than you would out of a yard hydrant.
So if we had a fire at town hall, we couldn't use it?
Well, you could, but there isn't going to be much water put on it.
Okay. So I would assume we should go with the standard hydrant.
It's the difference between a very, very large hose and a very, very small hose.
I'd rather have it.
Yeah.
And we're pretty close to some residential areas right here, too.
Well, there's standard rules and regulations for hydrant spacing and stuff like this. This just adds a safety factor.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? Okay, Arlen, would you like to talk to us about amendments to the capital project budget ordinance?
I'll just put this up so that everybody can see.
So this is included in what was sent out. Might be a little bit different, but it's the same information. Mm-hmm. I think what you have looks like that in your packet. But what I try to do is go through and based on the recommendations, the bids received, gone through and kind of rework what it looks like the final budget would be at this point in time. Some of the things have not changed. For example, you know, the feasibility study that was originally done, the architect fees are just as they've always been. I've added a line for third-party project management. When we first did the most recent budget, which was dated May 30th, that wasn't, it was considered, but we weren't sure about at that point in time, so I've added that. Looking at the construction numbers, I'll start with Town Hall. The construction is really, it's based right off of the bids. And you'll see a second sheet that I've handed out that, starting with the base bid, let's say for Town Hall, which was $2,113,500. The way this contractor did their bid, they put a lump sum for site work. So I needed to break that up, so I gave half of it to the Town Hall after the fire station. The architect had originally estimated amounts for technology wiring and equipment and furnishings. I left those as is. They're not part of the actual construction budget. They sit up there. And then I included a contingency of 5% of the construction cost. And I'll step back. I also included the two alternate bids also, the one to take off the popcorn ceiling and add new carpeting for the existing part of Town Hall and also for the fire hydrant for the fire station. So that includes all of that in the construction numbers. Fire station, very similar in regard to construction amounts that the architect estimated for the technology and for furnishings. And then there, the architect was using a 3% contingency. So that's how those numbers were determined. Miscellaneous project costs, there have been some changes since what we originally estimated back in May. We've kind of increased the budget for surveys. We had a preliminary one, and I think we've had now some subsequent ones that had to be done. The local government commission application fee, the loan application fee was always part of this. That's a fixed amount. There is a $2,900 bank fee from the bank that we selected for the financing. Legal fees have remained at the estimated $25,000. Our project managers have they requested but recommended that we include an amount for potential special inspections of approximately $16,000, so that's included. And then I just threw in just a miscellany of $500 for anything else that may come up. So total miscellaneous project costs of $52,150. So total project costs of a little bit over $5.3 million. So I don't know if anybody has any questions on that part.
Well, no, I understand everything you did. I think the site work, I would just question splitting it in half, but it's in there somewhere, so I understand.
Right.
I'm not going to quibble. I assume most of the site work will be for the fire station, but I'm fine with how you did it.
In the end, they gave us a lump sum for the thing. So.
Yeah.
So on revenue side, what I am, I guess I'm proposing, I guess, is that the loan be put at $5 million. I know up to this point, we've been doing a not to exceed $5.5 million. So as looking at all the final numbers, I think if we were to go with $5 million, that would work in this situation. Then I have transfer from the general fund, the $330,959. We've already transferred $250,000 in last fiscal year, so this would be an additional transfer of $80,959. And again, this is assuming, you know, you select that the bid that's been recommended and include the two alternatives.
No, I think you'd follow the direction of council.
Mm-hmm.
So, questions?
Yeah.
Questions?
Well, both the project manager and the architect are okay with the Thomas construction?
Yes. Yes, if just to remind everyone, and the reason I think we were the added to the success of these bids was we went through a pre-qualification process, which engaged qualified bidders that we invited, the total team. They came familiar with the project, submitted extensive packages of experience and financials and that were reviewed by the team. All were selected to bid. We got good response on our bids, I think, because of that. And Thomas Construction's a local contractor, has a good track record. Has done some impressive projects, so we recommend.
Did Group 3 say why they didn't bid? Was it just our time frame, or?
They said they had an estimating area. They were at all the pre-bid conferences. Everybody, and actually a representative came from them and apologized, I guess, for not getting their bid in. That they had some.
Yeah, he sat through the whole meeting, as a matter of fact.
And we shared the bid tab with him. Oh, right, but they did.
Okay, I was just interested. No. I'm glad we got four bids because I was concerned, like you were, with what's happening everywhere, that we just wouldn't get good bidding, so that's good. Great job by the team.
Okay, Arlen, would you like to read out these amendments?
Well, I was just going to show one other thing, which isn't in your packet, but it's just to kind of show what was the budget that was approved back on May 30th, which was what we had. The best information at that point in time, and compare that to the proposed budget, which we just had on the previous slide. So you can see the biggest change or the biggest differences are in the construction, of course, and flip-flopping a little bit, a fairly large increase in the town hall side of it, but that were things that came to light during the course of the preliminary work, I guess. Electrical and HVAC issues weren't known about initially. There were some issues with windows, the change, I think, in the roof. And there were probably some other things, too. I just tried to put a couple things up there that maybe caused that. And then same thing with the fire station, kind of went the other way with some design changes. Miscellaneous project costs, we kind of talked about what we added to increase that. Back in May, we just had a thing that we called, well, whether it was going to be project management or contingency of $182,000. What kind of change that just to show that line now as being project management, and the contingency is actually built in up in the construction numbers based on the note you see at the bottom of the spreadsheet. So that was just to kind of show how it compares to what we had thought back in May.
Yeah, so I think two interesting things about this. One is your site survey kind of uses that a little bit, where you put the land or whatever we call it.
Right.
The other thing is, I think you highlighted really well, we did not know the underlying issues that existed as bad as some of them were. So until you have people go through in a detailed way and look at it, it's like at your house, right? So you've lived there for 20 years, and then when you go to sell it, the guy comes in and says, hey, you got to fix all these things that you think were fine, right? And so that's pretty interesting. I think the cool part about this is about 7% more than what we estimated in May, which is not really that bad when you're trying to forecast something like this. So, I mean, the error is pretty good. So even the initial team work that we did with you guys and with the architect is pretty good on the, I mean, it always hurts when it goes up, right? But 8%, having experts come in and actually go through buildings and do stuff is not horrible. It still doesn't feel good, but it's not horrible.
Okay.
Thanks. That's a good way to show it, Arlen.
Can I just point out, when you say town hall, we're talking about this building?
And fire department. All the existing buildings, I'm sorry. The existing buildings, I'm sorry.
Well, and that's being renovated, fire department being renovated for use by the police.
That's right. The existing buildings, I'm sorry. The existing buildings, I apologize. Don't want you to feel bad. Okay, well, keep me correct.
Any other questions of Arlen?
No, ma'am.
So the other thing I included in your package is just the various budget amendments to get from where we were on May 30th to the proposed final budget. And I'm not going to go through any of these in detail. I kind of, but the math works to just go from point A to point B and the different accounts that are involved.
Don't have to pass them all one at a time?
You do have to pass them. They accomplish different things. Amendment 1801 is to update the capital project budget. So in essence, we're just going from the total of $5 million up to $5,330,959. Amendment 1802, because we're going to transfer an additional $80,959,000 out of the general fund to this capital project fund, we need to do an amendment for the general fund. So what I'm recommending there is to pay for that, we'll take that out of our fund balance or savings.
Okay.
The third one is something we haven't talked about yet really, is the relocation costs. So for getting everybody out of here and setting up temporary housing for a year. What I am recommending there is that we not include that as part of the actual capital project budget. It's really not a capitalizable expense as part of the asset that we're building. So what I'm recommending is we include that in the general fund budget. It's like an operating expense. So budget amendment 1803 is to set up a line item within the budget. What I was going to do was put it in the administration department just to keep it simple and be able to record everything in one place. And to pay for that would also be an appropriation of general fund balance. And the estimate for this current fiscal year 18, is about $176,000.
Okay.
And when we do the next year budget, then we would also have to include in that budget some additional funds that will be incurred in fiscal year 2019 for ongoing rent payments for the trailers, for example.
Okay.
Any
so
questions?
That's not capitalized money.
Correct.
Okay.
So, Nia, we're taking a total of $500,000 general fund for this?
Yes. Mm-hmm. A little bit over.
I think it's the number we've done around at one point. Mm-hmm. Do come out of it to the line of what we discussed.
Okay.
Okay.
We need a motion to approve the budget amendments 18-01, 18-02, and 18-03 as presented by Arlen.
So moved.
Good.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the determination of our final loan amount. You mentioned $5 million as opposed to 5.5 that we were going to need in case something went wrong.
Right. And I'll say based on what you've just decided on the budget, that what I will inform the bank is that we wish to borrow $5 million. Mm-hmm. Also, the local government commission, we've already submitted our application to them and are working using $5.5 million, but I can give them updated information.
Okay. Well, before we forget, I'd like to make a motion that we accept Thomas Construction Group's bid.
Second.
Nice job.
Any discussion? Second? You second.
He seconded. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you, guys.
There's some.
Okay, so we need.
This is a bit of a revenue picture, at least on. So I'll talk to you later about the debt. That's nice too.
So we need a motion to authorize our finance officer to proceed with the loan in the amount of $5 million.
I'll make that motion, man.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, and then we were getting ready to award the contract, but you didn't mention the amount.
Okay, the contract.
Right here. Would you make another motion, please?
Motion to award the contract to Thomas Construction for $4,386,807, contingent upon financial approval from LGC.
Second.
Any questions or comments, guys? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Okay, any other topics or questions or comments about the facility?
We had our walkthrough. The yes. Vice Mayor and I had a walkthrough. There were 9 people that attended, and we went over the plans with them and then showed them through the administrative offices, the fire department, and the police department. And they were all interested and thanked us for doing it, and as far as what we got back from them, most of it was favorable.
Yeah. Okay. It was important that they understood the deficiencies as to why it's necessary. I would have hoped it was attended by more, but they're on the line.
That's okay. Nancy, could you give us an update on the move down to Fort Fisher? The Air Force Base.
Yes, we will be relocating. We have some construction trailers on site. We have a lot of things that haven't been finished yet or signed off on, and we are working diligently to get utilities set up, which has been interesting on federal land, where there's also National Guard and lots of layers of
bureaucracy.
Permission that needs to be. But we haven't made an official announcement yet because we don't have anything completely signed, but it will be in the area of the Air Force Base site. Because it's also, everybody's town hall, just building inspections, finance administration, and also the police department, and we'll all be down there and together close by. Only the fire department will remain here for the construction.
And then upon completion of the fire department will move into the new building and they'll continue with the upgrade of the
for the police department
past fire station into the police department.
Do you plan to start moving this weekend?
Or? No, it will be closer to December before we will have all utilities in place. And it's a moving target. I can't. Best guess right now is first weekend in December after Thanksgiving, but it's all dependent on utilities at this point.
Okay.
What would the start date of construction be?
We've tentatively set up, this will be confirmed now that this meeting has happened, a pre-construction conference for 12-5. That doesn't mean the dirt will be flying, but that'll be the getting the team together, the design team, the contractors, their primary sub, early on subcontractors, going through pre-construction process. Then we'll be a submittal process will take place where the contractor will submit his detailed schedule for each activity. Many submittals will come in, and we'll start working with that and determine when an actual ground will be broken. So it's going to mesh well. And I would just say, not pass it one as we the Herculean effort to relocate the out of this building that Nancy's taking on, in my opinion, made this bid possible. I don't think we'd have had a contractor bid it with the proviso that that this building stay operational, because it would have been just too logistically and liability complicated. So that was good.
Mm-hmm. And the date of December 5th also coincides with the deadline for the local government commission notify us, right. And that would make the contract, assuming they're going to approve everything.
That's why we worked in the master schedule as we met and everything, which with some moves around has fallen into that track for a December kickoff now with your project. And also, just to let you know a little bit of a schedule update, submittals to regulatory agencies such as DOT, North Carolina's Diener, New Hampshire County Build Inspections, for the DM&E, Cura Beach, of course, Build Inspections. Those type of submissions have begun with plans at bid time. They were conditioned to do that. We'll be receiving that regulatory process back during this period as well.
So. Okay. Okay. Well, thank you, guys. Appreciate that. Okay, if there aren't any other questions or comments, we have under consideration proposed fees and a 45-day notice period that Arlen is going to talk to us about.
So this has nothing to do with this project at all.
Yeah.
Something else that I'm not sure if I'm going to be in attendance at the November council meeting, so I wanted to try to start the clock, I guess, on this. It's actually a change in state law where the fees, new construction type fees, is all relates to new construction in regard to water and sewer. Clarification on what a local government is allowed and not allowed to charge. So this House Bill 436.
Sir, we hold one. You guys are welcome to stay, but I don't know. So I mean, if you're going to do new construction, Kirby, you might care about it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Easy. Sorry, everyone.
Oh, that's okay. I didn't even think of that. Sorry.
Yeah.
So it was House Bill 436 that was signed into law back in July. It's taken a little time to get clarification on what we really needed to do and work through the whole process. And what it does, it allows one kind of fee, which is called a system development fee. And I have a definition there. I'll kind of read it so other people know what I'm talking about. It's not very long, but it's charge or assessment for service imposed with respect to new development to fund costs of capital improvements necessitated by and attributable to such new development to recoup costs of existing facilities which serve such new development or a combination of those costs as provided in the article of this that this will allow to put in place.
So this would be a cost to a new home?
Yes.
Well, so because basically a legal, they deleted the fees that were been charged, right? So
yes.
They basically made them unlawful, and so this is the legislature fixing that, because otherwise we would have the problem of, okay, how do we capture the fact that we have to stay ahead of building for development.
Is this a fee per residence or a fee per building?
Commercial and residential.
Well, it would be commercial and residential.
I'm talking about if you have a duplex, three apartments.
Well, if it was considered, if it was a duplex that had two units, it would be two charges.
Okay. Right. That's just like now. It's just
like now. Okay.
Arlen's got to do the work to make us still be able to charge the fees we've been charging for everyone in here. When you built your house, paid a fee of some type, going all the way back to, I think, the early 80s.
Yeah. I think it was a little
maybe higher before then, but I think for sure the early 80s, right?
It's not a deal. It used to be higher.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, unfortunately, isn't at the level that it was before. So, but this is what the state law requires. Yeah.
It just means all the rest of us pay for the new people a little bit more than we have been. Yeah. Okay.
So I'm not going to read through all this, but it kind of gives some of the requirements for doing this whole analysis. The thing I'll focus more on is, one, it's supposed to be prepared by a qualified person. I considered myself to be qualified. I put reasons why in here. It could also have been done by an engineer. Say, you know, the state, the House bill said either a qualified financial professional or engineer.
CPA counts.
Well, hopefully, by that. I did also, you know, research a lot on how you actually calculate system development fees. Got a lot of background information that we used in this. The state statute actually allows three different ways to calculate it. One is the buy-in method. One is called the incremental cost or marginal cost method, and then a combination of those two. So you have to use one of those three methods. And the one that I felt fit Curie Beach was the buy-in method, and that's typically used when the existing system has sufficient capacity to serve new development now and in the future, versus the incremental or marginal cost method, which really means you still need to build out your systems and infrastructure for new development. And we're not really in that position. We're more that our systems can accommodate the majority of the new development. So I use that methodology in calculating this system development fee. So I'll put up here, very simplified information that I'm putting up here, I guess, even what was behind it was kind of extensive and detailed or whatever to come up with this.
Yeah, 13 exhibits.
But bottom line is trying to calculate what's in that column A, the value of, it's kind of a weird description, but value of gallons per day of capacity. So it's to put a dollar amount on what the capacity is, gallons per day. I then looked at what the, started with average monthly usage, and I used a 3-year period for residential accounts, divided that by 30 to get the average daily usage. And the system development fee is just calculated by multiplying the value of gallons per day of capacity by the average daily usage. And I broke that into two components, one for water, one for sewer, but the total would be, as you see, just a little over $592. Which is significantly less than what we were charging before.
Is it 4,000?
What did it used to be?
What was it before?
What's that?
4,000?
2,500. Yeah. I just put one other thing up here.
Battery down.
Which is how I got to that per gallon capacity charge.
Right.
So it's really a whole calculation of coming up with the net book value of our capital assets for water and sewer. Then there's certain credits that you have to deduct from that. The outstanding debt being one, because it's considered a debt service is paid out of your kind of like monthly recurring type charges for water and sewer. So that needs to be deducted. In addition to any funds that we, grant funds that we received for water and sewer projects, because in theory the town never expended any money. They got an asset without expending their own money.
Right.
So that comes down to the value of capacity, and then the current total capacity, which is a million and million gallons per day, which is what our water system, according to our Public Works Department, is 1,157,000 gallons a day, and sewer is 1,012,784 gallons per day. And so you just get to that value of the gallons per day capacity by dividing the value of capacity by the total, the current total capacity.
So that 1.2 million is what we can pump.
That's right. That's all local line max.
Right.
That's right.
Okay.
Which we should never ever get there.
Hopefully.
That's why I've talked to council about conservation.
That's right.
Because, well, what we've seen with Gen X and other issues, you should take care of the aquifer. But if we turn all the pumps on based on the flows that Sunday's got, because we flow test all the wells and we ran them all, that's what the capacity would be.
Yeah. Just, I think I recall reading that the Caroline Beach use is actually greater than that per day.
Carolina Beach? Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, a lot bigger.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Which also, we need to keep our eye on that, work together on that.
And the sewer capacity is kind of made up of two parts, because it's our own, plus what we're allocated in Carolina Beach treatment facility. So I'm showing you this, I'm not really I don't know what I would call it, for agreement or to move forward with the next step of the process, which the state law requires that we then now have a 45-day comment period.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be made available on the town website, and we'll solicit any comments from anybody. The whole analysis will be put out there, everything that you have in your packet. Then we'll take into account any comments we receive. After that 45-day comment period, we then need to go to a public hearing. After that public hearing, then it can be adopted and included in our fee schedule.
Does that mean the public hearing will be in December? 45 days?
Probably.
January.
Can't be before 45 days. It could be January, I guess. January meeting.
So that's why I wanted to start, because again, I'm not sure I'm going to be here at the next meeting, and just wanted to be able to start. Because the longer we take, so,
That's right. Yeah.
I think we start the process for the.
Well, could you read specifically what
your
motion
needs
to be?
Yes, I can certainly do that.
Thank you.
This is athletic. System development fees. Please authorize the finance officer, Copenhaver, to proceed with 45-day notice period on proposed system development fee assessment of $592.26 for water and sewer connection for all new development per unit.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, just Arlen, good job. So I'm sure other towns are slower on this. I mean, this happened, right? It got passed in July, and then figured it all out, right? So the longer any town takes to do this, it's basically you've lost revenue, because as soon as they made those fees illegal, we stopped collecting them.
Mm-hmm.
For the citizens that are here, we all, when we did our housing, we bought our lots and did our housing, we paid $2,500, which went into the SERF fund, the sewer expansion reserve fund, which is what built or allowed us to buy in capacity in Carolina Beach, right? So that's how that works. This is just replacing that fee. It's significantly less, but the math is the math. At least the legislature did something. So while the legislature doesn't always make me happy, at least this is one of those issues they're recognizing, that towns have to be able to capture that. Because otherwise, what can happen is that, not so much for Curie Beach, but many of our small towns can grow really fast and grow themselves into a problem in their public works department, because then all the citizens have to be hit with high increases because of the development of people moving in, as opposed to them paying for the requirements for adding capacity. So, finally, a good thing. I don't say good things about them very often.
And I'll just add that,
thank
that
you, Dave.
This revenue cannot be used just for operations. I
That's
mean,
right.
As David said, it goes into our sewer expansion reserve fund, and we really, and it can only be used for capital projects.
Right.
And by action of town council to move it from the reserve fund into the other sewer fund.
That's right.
Okay. Again, if there's no more discussion, we need a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, before you guys leave, would like to introduce you to Nancy if you have not met her. You need to come by town hall and spend a few minutes with her. Her background is unbelievable. So
at least the first name will be easy.
I think,
sure,
yeah.
I think
she had it changed to Nancy, so all we'd have
oh,
to do is
yes,
sit
I
right.
did that so that you can just keep the flow.
But I think
you.
Our other Nancy did an excellent job hiring this young lady, and I know Arlen mentioned it a couple of times. He is having surgery and could be back out for several weeks, but he lives.